So I just check to begin with that the sound is coming through okay for you. All right, that's great. Cool. Wonderful. So today we're going to speak a little bit more about this Vedana quality to our experience. So what I was calling the niceness opinion, and I'll unpack a little bit more why I might choose to call it that. Some of you who are familiar with it from other places will know it as feeling tone, and maybe that means something to you, maybe it doesn't. I'm not going to try and make it mean something if it doesn't mean anything. I'll stick to the niceness opinion. Or it's this quality, at times I've used a much more complicated term, which is the hedonic classification of experience, which is to say everything is put into a basket according to its quality of pleasure. So a hedonist, someone who seeks pleasure all the time, you know, from that. So hedonic means related to its pleasantness. Will this bring me joy? Will this bring me sorrow? Yeah, quickly, very quickly, things are categorized. So today, we're not trying to put everything in a category. Like Vedana is already doing that. We're just going to tune into that quality that's happening. It's like, oh, how quickly that little buzz of reactivity. So is this nice? Is it not nice? But before we get into that, we're going to do something that may have an unpleasant Vedana. We're going to do that COVID test app thing. Yeah. And can we do that without getting reactive to its unpleasantness? Yeah. Just before Zara and I did the lateral flow test, sticking the thing up your nose and down the back of your throat and gagging, and I was saying to her, what's the Vedana that's associated with sticking something further up your nose than you really want it? You know. And in that way, just kind of naming that and experiencing that, for me, lessens the reactivity. Oh, this is unpleasant. I don't have to hate it. I don't have to want to get through it as quickly as possible. I just do it and stay calm, stay open, stay relaxed. And so that's kind of an example of where paying attention to Vedana can be a beginning of a more free sense of being, a more open sense of being. So feel free to, in your own time, do your check for your notifications. I really hope you're fine, and then we'll flow on. Something we normally say around this time on a retreat, whether it's there's a COVID pandemic thing going on or not, is let's be careful not to spread our germs. So like we can very even more easily spread perhaps than COVID is actually the common cold. And so if we get sniffles and things like this, it's really good to be washing our hands. Been a few coughs in the hall can be helpful. Cough into your elbow, not into your hands and into anything else, because then your hands stay quite clean for touching doorknobs and we don't transmit those kinds of things. So that's just something we would say around this time anyway. If you're coughing and sneezing, try and do it into your elbow. Does that make sense? Yeah. Just for the health and well-being of everyone here. Okay, so hopefully everyone's doing all right. If you unfortunately do get pinged, then obviously you just need to leave a note to the coordinators and self-isolate. So we're introducing Vedana, and it's actually the first of our, what we might call an insight practice. So within this big scope of what we might call an insight meditation retreat, most of what we've been doing so far, although it's insightful, is actually calming, steadying, softening the attention. We're doing it because of the main insight that it feels more free to be a bit more spacious, to be a bit more relaxed, to be a bit more steady and attentive to our experience. Get the whole team together, feel nice, feel a bit more gathered, a bit more unified, attention, awareness, body, heart, mind, all in this present moment together. Nice. Now we can party. Now we can enjoy ourselves. Yeah. No one's uninvited. No one's run off to go and do some errands. We're all just here enjoying the company of togetherness. So that's insightful. But what we're actually going to do now is actually bring an insightful way of looking, which is like, oh, there must be a Vedana here. Probably haven't noticed it. Bring my attention to it. And that, by its very nature of being insightful, will actually support freedom. And I'll explain a little bit more how that will unfold. But what that means is we're not switching whole cloth over to insight practice. We actually want to keep breath, body, sounds, whatever it is that we're using to stay in this present moment, to get more sensitive and kind of fill out this experience, come to life more. And then once in a while, just drop that insight tincture in there. Say, ah, I wonder if there's something pleasant that I'm grabbing onto. Or what's the Vedana of this thing in attention now? Ah, unpleasant. Is there some pushing away of that? Is there some reactivity, some aversion? Can I soften around that? Yeah. So, probably, if we're putting numbers on these kind of things, very tricky, isn't it? But let's say like 90% of the time or most of the time, keep with the breath, sounds, present moment, unfolding, experience, yeah. And then when it's helpful, we'll drop that in. So I'm saying that because in this meditation session, we'll probably do more of it, right? So that we kind of get a flavor to it. And also when you've got someone guiding you, it can be okay probably to do a bit more without getting agitated. Whereas if we're thinking a lot, oh, should I be doing that? Should I not be doing that? So I stick with this, just drop it in occasionally. It'll make sense as we go through the full explanation. But at no point in time is there a hierarchy. Yeah, it's not like, oh, the advanced practice is paying attention to Vedana. The advanced practice is being appropriate to what's needed right now. Very difficult to do advanced practice. Sometimes it takes real humility. It's like, oh, I need to go right back to the beginning. Maybe I just need to count some breaths. Maybe I just need to pay attention just to the very beginnings of a breath. That's what my capacity is right now. Have I got the willingness to do what feels appropriate? Or am I, I'm too good for that? Okay, I'm really scatterbrained, but I'm going for that. what I'm conceiving as the upper echelons of what we've been instructed to do, or what I heard, you know, Tibetan masters in the caves are doing, you know, that's my kind of practice, the top level stuff. I wouldn't think so. I think the difficult task is to do what feels appropriate right now. And what do I need to do right now? I've got a busy mind. Maybe I'm just going to count some breaths, get myself steady, get myself here, get the team together, understand what's needed, yeah, and be appropriate. So every phenomena that appears in consciousness, that can be known, that is known, has been attributed a Vedana. And let's just call it a niceness opinion for now. It's nice, it's not nice. Is this nice, is it not nice? Where it came from, maybe it doesn't matter so much. That it occurs does really matter quite a lot. In the full complexity of the teachings, there's something called the dependent arising of experience. You know, the depending arising of dukkha, in fact. You know, how we end up in an entangled mess. And Vedana is a very, very important step there, that before you get to dukkha, you get this kind of quality called tanha. It's grasping onto, pushing away, this demanding atmosphere, sometimes called clinging and craving, two words that we don't use very much. But I think demanding is a word we use quite a lot. Oh, I'm being really demanding. And I think that that's the real flavor for me of this tanha. It's demanding on life to be probably a way it can't be. Maybe I'm demanding it for it to be permanent. And yet everything is impermanent. Everything's inconstant. Or maybe I'm demanding for it to bring me lasting satisfaction. But things can't do that. You know, there's no happiness vat in the factories that make things. And there's no happiness quality that's put into roles and relationships. Happiness comes from somewhere else, and it actually comes from lessening the tanha, lessening the demanding. That's a real peaceful happiness. That's a harmonious happiness, yeah. The really significant kinds of happiness is that we just get a glimmer of. When we get something, or I finally get rid of something, there's this glimmer of happiness. But that's the glimmer because we actually just stopped demanding. It's not that we got the thing or we got rid of the thing. It's that we stopped demanding. Perhaps that's the truth of where the happiness comes from. So that demanding is dependent on taking the niceness opinion as a concrete fact about the thing itself. This really is pleasant. It's not an opinion. It really is pleasant. It really is nice. And if I get it, I'll be nice too. And this really isn't nice. Completely not nice. And it's not nice for anyone. And I'm actually doing the world a favor by getting rid of this thing. It's not just an opinion. It's true. And that leads to the demanding. Yeah? So you understand that kind of building up of experience. So it's a complex teaching. I'm hoping that we're just taking a section of it that feels helpful and we can see how that will unfold. If we hold the Vedana as an opinion, maybe we don't need to react to it. Oh, this is being called pleasant. Oh, this is being called unpleasant. This is being called nice or not nice. And this, all the rest, neither nice nor not nice, neither pleasant nor not pleasant. Rejected, overlooked, not regarded. So if it's pleasant and I grasp onto it, it's dukkha. Yeah, it's unpleasant, it's contracted. If it's pleasant and I don't grab onto it, it's not dukkha. Yeah. It's the way that we relate that matters. If this is unpleasant and I reject it, I push away or I try and escape, it's unpleasant, it's dukkha. If it's unpleasant, and I don't relate that way, and say, I'm seeing this as being unpleasant. And how is it? We practiced that yesterday with the kind of body pains and unpleasant sounds, whatever else it was. Without that, without so much reactivity, it's not as bad. It's actually less dukkha, it's less unpleasant. And with things which are kind of overlooked or disregarded. We spoke a bit about dullness, we spoke a bit about boredom. Yeah. What happens when we bring interest? So I mentioned, I think in her talk, and we put it on the board, you know, that just to bring your mindful attention to something is an act of kindness. So right now you're paying attention to me. I'm the only thing talking in the room and kind of like, so I kind of cornered the market there, but your attention towards me is an act of kindness. Like you could be paying attention to anything else. And I know some of you are off in fantasy world or whatever, and that's fine, you know. But any moment that you pay attention to another person is such an act of kindness, isn't it? When we pay attention to ourselves, to our bodies, to our thought processes, it's also an act of kindness. When you pay attention to something with a kind of disregarded Vedana, not so pleasant, not so unpleasant, no need for any attention to that. You start bringing attention to this. It starts to shine, starts to come alive. Something very beautiful there in this, what we might call kind of middle Vedana. Something that's not pleasant, it's not unpleasant, actually quite nice. Some sensation, feeling in the body, it's not really asking for much, maybe it's just feeling of the mid part of my arm. It doesn't hurt, it's not exceptionally pleasant, but as I pay attention to it, it's, like, oh, it's actually pretty nice. It's pretty nice compared to paying attention to my knee, which is just screaming out, why have you folded me there again? I told you I don't like that. And I'm just paying attention to this. This becomes my experience. What we pay attention to, that's what experience is, yeah? Where attention's landing. How we pay attention. So I'm just paying attention to you. I know I didn't notice you earlier. It's nice to meet you. How are you doing? It's a friendly relationship. It comes alive. It feels nice to pay attention in that way. Yeah. Paying attention to Vedana then opens possibilities, doesn't it? Let's say habitually I notice what's not okay. Yeah. And then occasionally I notice, oh yeah, sun's out, I like that, it's going to be good, it's a good day, it's not so cold. But what about all the rest? Do I want to bring that into life as well? So we have Vedana as a way of noticing what's going on in our experience, the gom, becoming familiar with how we are, how we appear, what happens. And then we have the bhavana part of meditation, the cultivation. What should I pay attention to right now? Which of the possible Vedanas of this experience should I pay attention to? Is he with me so far? Making sense? Okay. A couple of things important to notice about Vedana. It only refers to me. Okay? So we can take that, I take that as a thing of lightness. Yeah, it's a niceness opinion for me. This would be nice for me. This would be not nice for me. This is not worth paying attention to for me. So it's added on to the experience in reference to this being that I sense myself to be. And we'll come on later on, perhaps. Who the heck is that person? But for now, let's just say it appears in relationship to me. No thing inherently has a Vedana. You know, a good example of this is, say, like a slice of cake or, like, you know, a piece of toast that we have in the tea room. Oh, that first bite of toast, that was good. I'll put another one on while I eat this one. How many pieces of toast will maintain that Vedana? And is it just that the third piece of toast, there wasn't enough Vedana to go around, so it becomes a little bit more neutral, and then maybe the fifth piece of toast is starting to become a little bit less pleasant now as belly fills up with toast and mouth just can't quite generate enough positive Vedana without, you know, and it kind of goes on. It's like, I never want to see toast ever again, you know. So there's nothing inherent about a thing. The Vedana is a niceness opinion. It's added on. It refers to me. So it's really important to notice that, yeah. Nothing inherently owns its own Vedana. It's a part of the process of the human relationship. It will also change. It depends on the way of looking. It really depends on the way of looking. And if I can kind of give an example, it might be sensitive, it might be not quite right to do, but like one that came to my mind is that I've been wearing a mask in here. I'm not wearing it for my own protection. I'm wearing it because I feel like if I accidentally pick up COVID, I don't want to give it to anyone else. You can kind of reduce the amount that you spread it. So when I wear it, and I think, if I was wearing it and I thought I'm protecting myself, I think that would, and I don't like wearing a mask, I don't know if anyone likes wearing a mask, therefore it doesn't have a very pleasant Vedana. But if I think I'm wearing this and in some way I'm contributing to maybe, possibly, someone else not getting COVID, even if I happen, unfortunately, to have gotten it. It really changes the Vedana because the intention behind it shapes the way of looking. So it's an honor not to infect someone, not to, and we can expand it, you know, not to overstrain the health service or not to cause extra plastic that's going to be, you know, someone recovers, or not to cause them to be snappy and irritable as they get tired and feel sick and maybe say something they regret. You know, it's kind of keep expanding it. And it like supports, through that way of looking, a different Vedana. So it's a bit itchy, it's a bit scratchy, it's a bit humid inside this mask breathing. But so what? Compared to this. And it actually opens a different sense. And as some people were explaining with what we did, that don't scratch the itch meditation, just sitting there, not scratching it, actually lead to a kind of samadhi. Something beautiful opens up because the heart feels expanded, even though the initial Vedana might be itchy, scratchy, humid, not nice, take it off. And it's like, yeah, but what about a different way of looking at this? So different ways of looking at experience change the Vedana of experience. Yeah, Vedana is constantly updated, has a refresh rate in the 1,000th of a millisecond. That's a fact. So at any time, that Vedana can change. If you think Vedana is permanent and it's attached to a thing, that's called delusion. Yeah, that's a misunderstanding of how things are. So Vedana is not fixed. It's a momentary attribute added onto an experience in reference to me, wherever I am. Yeah, so it's helpful to see that. So it's a very insightful practice, and as we do it and as we look at experience through this lens, we're entering into freedom teachings. Yeah, But still, lots and lots of practice with the calmness, with the steadiness, and then occasionally just drop it in. What's the niceness opinion right now of this thing that I'm paying attention to? And then we have two things to do there, if we want. Can I just accept that? Can I just be with that? Can I pay attention to something else? Maybe by habit, I'm not paying attention to the nicest thing in the room right now. Maybe I want to. You don't have to always pay attention to what you habitually thought to pay attention to initially. You can upgrade, advance, or you can play with that way of looking, or pay attention to something that's not grabbing your attention. The key principle, the way this is normally taught, is it leads to a kind of a quality of some kind of equanimity, some calmness, some spaciousness in the being, because, as we said, pleasant Vedana, grabbing on, unpleasant Vedana, pushing away, both of those are dukkha. Yeah, overlooking, boring, not worth my attention. Doesn't seem as bad a dukkha as before, but actually feeling kind of bored, feeling reactive, feeling aversive, will build, will escalate. A lot of this would be happening quite quietly in the consciousness. When we might start noticing in our consciousness is like, I feel a bit annoyed, feel a bit frustrated, because all of these, something really pleasant, grab onto it, that will actually become unpleasant quite quickly. Dukkha is unpleasant. So that felt sense of unpleasantness will then lead to further reactivity and rejection, and this can really escalate, escalate and escalate. We end up in quite a storm of experience. And in that moment, just notice the Vedana. Right? So is Vedana right down there at the beginning? But Vedana is really helpful up there. I'm really escalated condition here. What do I need to do to get out of this? What about noticing the Vedana and not rejecting that? Yeah, so, this is unpleasant, this tangle I feel myself to be in. Whew, okay, what should we do? Let's relax a little bit. Let's open the space. Let's just allow that, I'm in a pickle. Maybe of my own making, maybe not. Maybe it's really is somebody else's fault. Let's put that aside right now and just calm, breathe, bit of spaciousness. Okay, this is what it's like. This is what it's like. So Vedana is a way of accessing our experience. Gives us a handhold or a footing into experience. It's like, unpleasant again. Oh, it's really pleasant. Really pleasant. And then can we be with it? Enjoy it, kiss the joy as it flies if it's pleasant, make space, support it if it's unpleasant. Okay. Let's check if there's anything else I feel might be helpful to. Insight practices take a bit of time to develop, So we're trying to pay attention to something that's quite subtle. That's one of the reasons why we'll keep the calmness, steadiness, expansiveness practices going. The other is we might miss a few times, They might think, I can't sense any Vedana. Remembering there is this big pot of not particularly pleasant, not particularly unpleasant within the Vedana camp. So maybe it's that. Maybe that's what the Vedana is. It's not very significant. What can be helpful is maybe like a general sense of metta to all Vedanas. You're welcome. Can't tell quite what you are, but you're welcome, And so that can be really helpful, just as a general principle, Really widening the range of what can be met with kindness. At any time, there might be a new kind of pleasant Vedana, quite subtle kind of one, which is actually the Vedana of a sense of a bit more freedom. And that's where it's going to be quite helpful to allow for that, enjoy that. It's like, this is quite nice. It may happen, may not happen, either way. Okay, it's quite nice, it's quite enjoyable. allow yourself to stay with it. Yeah, and we spoke yesterday, I think it was yesterday, may have just been a few minutes ago, I get my times mixed up, that the Teflon to the mind, you know, and just slips through pleasant experiences. It takes a bit of effort. So just seeing, can I be with this for a few seconds before I skip off back to search for the 1,000th piece of my jigsaw puzzle that's missing, you know, in life. Just this, ah, it's okay. Ah. And I'll breathe in with it as well. I know the mind's going to wander off in a minute, but I'm going to enjoy it for as long as I can. And then, you know, carry on. So giving yourself time to enjoy that. Okay. I hope some of that made sense, and I think it did. It felt like it did to me. So, as we said before, generally we're going to be being appropriate to our experience. So if this isn't the right time to pick up this practice, keep going with the ones you're enjoying. You know, the calmness practices, metta practice, all of those still remain like fully available to you, and shape your experience according to choosing your practice as well. But if you're willing, we'll bring this into a practice together, and then we'll open if there's any kind of questions, reflections that might feel helpful. So we can start off with grounding. Grounding into the body, into the moment. Often find it quite helpful just to really breathe out and sink in. Particularly if someone's just thrown a whole load of words at me, I feel it's quite helpful just to let that go now. And breathing in, maybe coming upwards from the hips, a nice alignment in the body. Be something quite noble, ennobling, in a nice upright posture. Yeah, I'm showing up. So sometimes there can be a nice pleasantness, nice vedana to the posture, to be present, that intention to be sensitive, to be awake. You invite the breath to be deep, or the listening to be sensitive and wide. Whatever's in attention right now, is it pleasant, unpleasant, neither? What about the breath or the sounds you're listening to? Maybe if the breath was a little deeper or the attention was a little kinder. Does that change things? noticing again, what about this object in attention? What's the Vedana of that? And is there any pushing away or pulling towards that kind of goes along with that? Can we just recognize the Vedana of it and not push, not pull? Oh, it's just like this. It's classified this way. Maybe if you pay attention without the reactivity, does the Vedana change? So again, coming back to the practice, maybe it's the sensations of the breathing, maybe it's the listening to the sounds. Relatively simple approach to being present. How does it feel to be present right now? What's the Vedana of being present? Might be too subtle to tell, but there will be some kind of Vedana. If unobserved, it might be leading to some pulling towards, pushing away, or overlooking. And can it be welcomed into attention, allowed to be here? Given space. If you're comfortable bringing the attention into the body, let's do that. Just get a sense of the whole body here. If you prefer to be in the realm of sounds, opening into the field of sounds, just notice what kind of catches in the attention. Maybe there's a general sense of the whole body, maybe a subtle sense of the Vedana of paying attention to the whole body. Or the wider realm of sounds. And within it there's this constant flow of sensations, you know, or vibrations. Which are very quickly, very immediately being attributed Vedanas, and they're just opinions. We're not trying to stop that process. That would be tricky, perhaps, but also not so necessary. For now, we're just lessening the reactivity. It's unpleasant, not going to push it away. Pleasant, not going to grab onto it. seeing if we can stay with a relatively spread sense of body, spread sense of awareness, letting things pass through. It'd be interesting to note what we get hooked on, what we need to let go of. And be quiet, I'll just drop in a few reminders so that we stay on the practice. So if attention shrunk around one aspect of experience, just release, open the whole body, wider sense, listening. Again, if we've narrowed down on one particular vibration, just opening out, whole sense? How's the whole sense of the whole body, the whole sense of the awareness? How's the felt sense of being present with this? Vedana practice can be quite helpful at times, just to notice what's the Vedana of being distracted. And often there's a contraction that comes with that, kind of a squeezing in the being to kind of hold a thought, a stream of thoughts. And what's the Vedana of relaxing, gathering? What's the Vedana of being sensitive to life? Just checking that the effort that we're making in the practice isn't causing tension in the being. Just check, is the face relaxed? You can really pay sensitive and deep penetrating attention to experience without frowning, without getting too tight. Just invite warmth, spaciousness to the eyes and around the eyes. Forehead can soften, jaw can release, slacken a little. It's like the out-breath can just pour through the face, releasing, relaxing. Shoulders, upper back can be invited to relax. Breathing into and out through those areas. So any holding in the belly can also release. So relatively relaxed, you may notice there's perhaps some area of the body that's a little bit painful, maybe a little bit stiff, a little bit tight, a little bit throbbing. Has a slightly unpleasant vedana. Let's just bring kind attention here. So we're not rejecting it, we're not trying to fix it, we're not trying to get rid of it in any way. So we're not trying to ignore it. Letting the attention come really to the outer edges of it, where it's almost becoming more neutral. So we might realize we're just imagining this in the body, might be that we really feel it, just coming to that outer boundary and just maybe breathing towards it with kindness. Breathing out through it, around it, with kindness. This can be quite a nice practice to do. It's actually, might even be quite an enjoyable way of relating to the boundary of a vedana. If it in any way feels helpful, maybe it's a brightening, or more kindness in the attention, we can actually start to head within that boundary a little bit. Maybe the boundary is less fixed than we imagined already. Underneath this vedana, there's just sensation. Pressure or heat, movement. Maybe in the sensation level, we see it's actually not unpleasant or pleasant. Just a sensation. Meeting that with kindness. Maybe it remains, maybe it disappears, maybe it changes. Trying to keep attention in that area, even if it disappears, and just keep offering kindness to this space, all these sensations, whatever's there. You can also use the vedana quality to see if there's anywhere in the body that feels okay. Maybe the earlobes actually feel okay, maybe little finger feels okay, inside the elbows, palms of the hands, roof of the mouth. Just choosing one area that feels reasonably okay. And just really showering it with your kind attention. Maybe the boundaries of it. Maybe the very heart of it. We notice that the vedana may come more alive. May incline towards the pleasant, it may disappear into the neutral, whatever is happening, just noticing perhaps the way we're attending is affecting things. Maybe it's just changing over time. Maybe it's expanding, maybe it's fading. What's going on? Coming into this last minute of the practice, maybe coming to a sense of, again, the whole space, maybe the whole body, the whole field of listening. But within that, a sense of the practice, how it's going, how it feels to be practicing insight, practicing gatheredness, presentness, steadiness. Whether it's easy or difficult to be this way, we lessen the reactivity, lessen the grabbing on or pushing away. If there's any sense of well-being, any sense of peacefulness or harmony, anything in that area, can it be allowed to expand? Given space, given attention. So thank you deeply for your practice. just a couple of things. Started ringing the bell two times. That doesn't mean we're really ending the meditation. Turns out for the online participants, the first bell maybe tells it, listen, and then the second bell, they get to hear. So we're ringing two bells for that purpose. In a certain way, a preference might be not to have a bell at all, not to demark things so kind of fixed. It's like, oh, we're finished in here. Let's now go outside and then I'll find my walking path and I'll start my walking practice. And one of the images I have for this is actually let's blur the boundaries between things. Yeah, so it's like, oh, I'm just meditating. There's the walking, getting up from my sitting posture meditation, and there's the walking out of the hall meditation, and then there's the beginning of this, you know, path walking meditation, and then go and have my eating my lunch meditation, and of course that just sounds like way too much meditation. Or am I addicted? And also, you know, you've got to be kidding me, it's hard enough just doing the stuff on the schedule, and I have those small breaks, you want to steal those away from me as well. But actually, we might minimize the amount of work. The image that works for me is that in this meditation now, we actually did quite a lot of work in a certain degree, and work can be like blowing up a balloon. You know, it's like, can't have a party without a balloon, can you? So you're blowing up a balloon, and then you every so often you need to squeeze it, yeah, just a pinch. And then you can blow up a balloon a little bit more, and we pause and we pinch. So having our practice having its own kind of ups and downs, rhythms through a session, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, it's puffed up. But don't forget, don't just let go of the pinch. You let go of the balloon, kind of flies off, and you have to go and find it. It's such a chore, yeah. You might end up with someone else's balloon. So you stay a little pinch on the balloon. When the bell rings or a session ends, also keep a pinch on that balloon. You've cultivated something beautiful. It can be this feeling, we actually let go of it. It's like, oh, phew. Well, that was great. But we actually let go of the balloon. Yeah. Can we hold on to that balloon? We just carry it with us. Very, very light degree of mindfulness that you need to just don't let go of the balloon. It's not like intense practice all the way through. Every single step, mustn't miss one. Like, you know, that's maybe too much, but just lightly, hey, that was a nice thing to cultivate. Let's keep it alive. It appeared in consciousness. Consciousness is still here. You still have a flavor. Keep that flavor going. We take it to the walking practice. When you get to the walking practice, you've already got a quite well inflated balloon. If you've let go of the balloon, then you've got to start inflating that balloon again, and there's the first few laps of the walking practice, and then, oh, now I'm grooving. So I think it's quite helpful. I think it's kind of energy efficient to kind of maintain that through the practice. But it's an invitation, as all things are. See for yourself if that's helpful, if that image works for you in any way, or you want a different one. So can only share with you what's helpful for me, and I can't know what's going to be helpful for you, but with those building blocks maybe you'll find something helpful. Vedana practice can be done in walking, yeah. For example, there can be the Vedana of walking practice. I don't like walking. I don't want to do my walking practice. It's not so easy, it's not as concentrated, it's not as well supported as practice in the hall. Don't like it so much. I'm still going to do it. Because I'm not going to be kicked around by Vedanas. You kidding me? Just because it's seen as unpleasant, I'm just going to do it. And the way I meet it is going to change it. I'm going to see it as a creative time for enjoyable walking under the trees or whatever it is that I'm doing in the practice. Yeah. The way we meet things really matters. But also you'll notice there's a Vedana to the sunshine, how it feels right now. It's like, oh, thank goodness, out in the sunshine and a little bit of time. Too much sunshine, I don't want so much sunshine, you know, in the shade, the weathers, the path, the other people around me. Everything gets attributed to these Vedanas and can lead to reactivity. So I mean, just watch them arising and passing. It's like, ooh, getting reactive. Oh, maybe there's something unpleasant that I can just allow, open to, be with. Yeah. Maybe we'll address it in the questions, but just to say, I'm not saying this is the way you should live your life. Just accept everything, and even if it's unpleasant and it's annoying, your neighbors are this, your government's that, whatever. It's like, it's just a Vedana. Dude, chill out. I'm not saying this is how we should live. This is a meditation practice to be done on retreats with that awareness. It's like, what does this do? How does this shape my experience? How does it impact on my sense of freedom or not? Okay, so a lot of stuff, word shower, let it flow by, anything that's not useful, you can always pick it up later, it's been recorded, fingers crossed. Was it? Great. And we'll pause that recording now, and then we'll open to some questions and responses, and if you want to go off and already do your walking practice, you've had enough word soup for today, that's totally fine as well. And but anyone who has any questions and reflections, very welcome.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.